This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen here with you. According to a study by Harvard Medical School, over 25% of adults suffer from mental disorders. And half of all lifetime cases of mental illness begin by age 14. Thus, mental illness is a real issue facing many of today's youth. In the U.S. alone, approximately 5 million children have some type of serious mental illness. But unfortunately, only 20% of those affected youth are identified and receive the mental health services they need. Well, some of that has to do with lack of resources, but much of it also has to do with the stigma associated with it. Joining me to shed some light on one way to help destigmatize mental illness is Dr. Stephen Glatt. He's the director of the Psychiatric Genetic Epidemiology and Neurobiology Lab at Upstate Medical University. And joining him is Andy Beltran. He's a fourth-year medical student at Upstate Medical University as well. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure.
So, Dr. Glatt, the stigma of mental illness is a real problem. Help us understand that.
It's one of the biggest problems. So having a mental illness is really tough. And what makes it even tougher to be successful, to have a functional, normal life when you're dealing with a mental illness is the sense of isolation, the sense of being different, the sense of being unwanted or unwelcome. That's the stigma, is that people perceive that you're abnormal and you don't belong.
And it seems like that presents tremendous barriers, as I alluded to in the introduction, to getting help of any kind.
That's right. Our community perpetuates this idea about mental illness being a bad or an evil thing. And because of that, when someone starts to experience symptoms that are treatable, the shame and the desire to hide that from everyone else keeps them from seeking out that treatment.
Why do you think that our culture seems to have this kind of bias against diseases of the mind versus diseases of the body?
It's true. I think, you know, there's no such bias against cardiovascular disease, breast cancer, and so on. I think it's because the mind in and of itself is so complex, and we can't pinpoint the root causes. So people incorrectly assume that if someone has a personality disorder, it's their choice. And it's not their choice. We've shown through decades of research that these are biological brain disorders, much of the time having both genetic and environmental contributions, but certainly not the choice of the individual. I think that's the big bias.
And Andy, you've been involved in this program. We're going to talk about this program to try to destigmatize these, especially to help young children or young people understand the power of the stigma. What do you see as the consequences of having that kind of stigma? I mean, how does it play out in a young child or a young adult when they feel the stigma?
I think Dr. Glatt mentioned it as well, that they become very isolated. They don't know who to turn to. And even when they turn to their parents, it's very difficult for a parent to help their children out because they also feel the isolation. And it's difficult for the whole family to seek help.
And I think the rates of things like teen suicide, bullying, hazing, all of those kinds of things reflect often the case where someone's suffering from some kind of a mental illness.
That's right. If there's anything that's different about you that keeps you from being accepted, you're going to find different outlets, drug abuse, internalizing behavior, introversion, and so on. And those things, that type of isolation is not healthy.
So you, Dr. Glatt, you've been involved in an organization, NAMI. Tell us about that organization. What have you been doing with them and why?
Well, I've been involved with NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, the Syracuse chapter, for many years. Some of my research was in the newspaper, and a stakeholder in the community, Betty Pringle, who founded NAMI Syracuse chapter, reached out to me. And through her, it finally put a face on mental illness because of her own family that was affected and the people I met through her at NAMI. It finally connected for me that I'm not just doing research in the ivory tower. It has an effect. It gives people hope. So I joined NAMI and I got on their board. And one of the things, having young children myself, that I thought I could help with was getting into the school systems to educate children who currently aren't learning about mental illness and stigma and so on, teaching them the facts about brain disorders.
I mean, it's a large mountain to climb, or a hurdle to overcome, it seems to me, that when the culture is so negative. But you have to start somewhere.
And you have to start early. So if we were going out and trying to talk to parents, it would be like beating our head against the wall. their ideas are already entrenched. The children, they're willing to listen. They're willing to learn. And if we teach the children, they'll become more empathic adults whose own children will learn from them, maybe not necessarily from us. They'll come to school already equipped with an understanding of mental illness.
Excuse me, it's a wonderful goal. So what do you think then, in a general sense, what do you think needs to be done? Andy, what needs to be done? Before we get into the specifics of your program, what generally needs to be done to change the hearts and minds?
I think starting early is the goal. Starting to definitely focus very early age so that people feel that they can share their stories, they can talk to their friends, talk to their family, to make it acceptable. One of the things that I've seen, especially when I interact with these children, is that they themselves don't feel like they can share their stories. So starting early on to allowing them to share their stories.
So acceptance, tolerance, that kind of thing needs to be kind of promoted very young.
And also a grounding in the facts. You know, it's not just our opinion. These are facts that these are biological brain disorders. There's treatments that work. And if you seek out help, you will get better.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with research psychologist Dr. Stephen Glatt and medical student Andy Beltran. We're talking about the stigma attached to mental illness and what can be done about it. So you've launched a program through NAMI, I guess?
It is. It's a NAMI program. I can't take credit for creating it, but we take credit, and especially I give a lot of credit to Andy for really disseminating this in our community. It's called Breaking the Silence, and it's a teacher-developed curriculum developed in NAMI NASA and Queens branch that has spread throughout the country. They're using this in Iowa and California. We're using this in as many school districts as we can in Onondaga County with this help and support of OnCare, and we're trying to get this curriculum starting at fourth grade all the way through high school into health classes, science classes, or the basic curriculum of the public
schools. So how does it work? I mean, tell us about that, Andy. How does it actually work? Do you work alongside a teacher? Is the teacher given the curriculum? I mean, what actually takes place?
Well, the goal is that we would reach out to the schools and specifically the health teachers and provide the learning packets to them so that they themselves can go over the material and select different lesson plans to teach their students. It's a self-contained packet that should be easily implemented into their classroom. But there are times when teachers don't feel comfortable, and there are times when I've actually gone in myself and taught 45 minutes to,
really?
To an hour.
Wow.
if needed. And I think that gives them the confidence to actually start teaching themselves.
Wow.
So
you've jump-started it at times.
At times I have jump-started it. But the goal is, because I guess as medical students we're so busy, is to actually have the teachers themselves. It's a very, very basic. You know, we're teaching. We're not trying to make students into psychologists, psychiatrists. It's very, very basic. And anybody who takes half an hour to read over it can pretty much implement it in the classroom.
So what grades are you targeting again, specifically?
Starting from fourth grade all the way through high school, 12th grade.
And what's been the response from the schools, the school districts? And this is mostly local, am I correct?
This is all of Onondaga County that we're reaching out to. So far, we've only reached out to schools in the vicinity, like Liverpool, East Syracuse, and Skaneateles. The response is great. I think especially when I actually go and do the teaching, I can see the response firsthand, and people are very receptive. The students themselves, you know, at the end of, after I finish teaching, I ask them, is this something you would want to learn in school? Is this really, and everybody agrees, yes, I would love to learn this in school. I wish it would start earlier. So it's been, even the students themselves are very receptive.
How do you find time for this, Andy?
there have been times when I don't have time, so it's been very difficult to find time. I usually, you know, squeeze it in between, I guess, rotations, because right now I'm a fourth year and I'm doing rotations. I squeeze it in between rotations. I also have a lot of help. There are students who have actually volunteered their time as well, who come with me to help teach, and also who all reach out to the schools themselves.
So, Dr. Glatt, what do you think what do you see as the end product of this? In a perfect world, what would happen?
In our perfect corner of the world being, let's say, greater Onondaga County, a perfect world for me is where every school, every school district, grade four and beyond, is getting exposed to the Breaking Silence curriculum at least once a year, maybe in October when it's Mental Health Awareness Month, maybe in May when there's another week dedicated to mental health. At least once a year, they should be being reminded of this material. There is research that shows that implementing this Breaking the Silence curriculum in the middle schools changes children's knowledge, it changes their attitudes, and it changes their behaviors toward people with mental illness. But whether or not that's lasting, we're not sure, because that was a one-time trial. But it makes sense that if kids are exposed to this curriculum every year at advancing levels, they'll grow up to be very empathic, knowledgeable adults with regard to mental illness. So in our perfect world, we'd have this in every district.
So you see this happening now in other places within the country as well. As you mentioned, NAMI is doing this elsewhere. Has there been any research or is there any data to support what are the outcomes so far?
As I said, there's just been this one research study that showed that 6 weeks after middle schoolers were exposed to the curriculum, it increased their knowledge of the facts about mental illness. It increased their attitudes. It improved their attitudes toward mental illness. For example, if they were asked a question about, would you be willing to sit next to someone at lunch who has a mental illness? Before the testing, maybe 40% of kids said yes. After the testing, it's maybe 80%. So social distance decreases between a child who's educated and someone with a mental illness.
It seems to me also that it could have ramifications beyond this particular message, in the sense that the larger message is one of tolerance.
That's right.
And compassion. And those two messages really go way beyond just the mental illness issue.
Correct. I completely agree. I think as the more and more I do this, the more and more I realize that it's not just about mental illness. It's about compassion. It's about acceptance. It's about getting others to allow them to develop as human beings.
And we hear from health teachers, it's very difficult to add new things to their curriculum. They have mandates from New York State that they have to teach such and such. Well, one of the things they have to teach about is bullying. Another is drug abuse. Mental illness ties into these topics very closely.
Absolutely.
So we try to appeal to them that don't see this as something new you have to add. See this as something that supplements and is real world relevant for the kids when you're talking about bullying. Why do kids get bullied? Because they're different. Maybe they have symptoms of a mental illness. It dovetails nicely with those mandates.
Absolutely. So where do you see the future of this particular program going locally?
Well, I think when I started doing this, we had the curriculum in maybe 5 to 6 schools. When Andy came on board, we went up exponentially. We're at about 30 schools doing this now. And the team that Andy's firsthand recruited of other Upstate Medical University medical students who want to do this, I think within a couple of years, we could have every district in the county administering
wow.
the curriculum.
Amazing. You're looking for some people to get involved as well and more information? How would they do that?
Well, we're really appealing to the parents of children who think that this is important for their children to be learning in the schools. We're also appealing to educators or people who work in the school systems. Let's get this curriculum into your school district if it's not using it already. They can contact us at NAMI Syracuse offices, namisyracuse.org, and we'll be happy to speak with them, come meet with them, and even administer the curriculum ourselves if need be. But we really do want to train people to administer this curriculum in their school districts.
Wonderful work. Thank you so much for sharing it. I wish you all the best. It's great. Very inspiring.
Thank you for my the guests opportunity.
My guests have been Dr. Stephen Glad. He's the director of the Psychiatric Genetic Epidemiology and Neurobiology Lab at Upstate Medical University, and Andy Beltran, a fourth-year medical student at Upstate Medical University and a volunteer for this program. Once again, thanks so much for coming in. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.